I will read the most difficult sloka in the whole Bhagavad Gita. Dehinasmin yatha dehe.
Dehinasmin yatha dehe.
Omaram yavanam jara.
Omaram yavanam jara.
Tatha deham dara prapti.
Tatha deham dara prapti.
Virastatra namuhyati.
Virastatra namuhyati.
Dehinasmin yatha dehe.
Dehinasmin yatha dehe.
Yavanam jara,
Omaram yavanam jara,
tatha deham dara prapti,
tatha deham dara prapti,
virastatra namuhyati,
virastatra namuhyati,
dehinasmin yatha dehe,
dehinasmin yatha dehe,
Omaram yavanam jara,
Omaram yavanam jara,
tatha deham dara prapti,
tatha deham dara prapti.
Virastatra namuhyati.
Virastatra namuhyati.
Dehina.
Dehina.
Of the embodied. Somebody's translator just explain. Okay. Asmin.
Asmin.
In this.
In this.
Yatha.
Yatha.
As.
Dehe.
In the body.
In the body.
Komaram.
Komaram.
Boyhood.
Yovanam,
Yovanam, youth, Jara, old age, Tatha, similarly, Deha Antara, of transference of the body, Prapti,
achievement,
Dhira,
the sober.
Tatra, thereupon. Na, never. Muhyati, is deluded. It's one of the favorite Prabhupada slokas, and I think we should read it again to try to understand this important truth. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither of Bhishma nor of Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least life in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause for lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the super soul and nature, both material and spiritual, is called Dhira, or the most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the change of bodies. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the supreme cleavable or changeable against the principle of the supreme soul being unchangeable. As confirmed in the Gita, the fragmental portions of the supreme exist eternally, Sanatana, and are called Kshara. That is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental portions are eternally so, and after liberation, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same, fragmental. But once liberated, he lives in eternal life, in bliss and knowledge with the personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to the super soul, who is present in each and every individual soul and is known as Paramatma. He is different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections present both represent both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars shall be compared with the living entities and the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna, and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy, Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and the other the instructed. Such instruction would be useless because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be authoritative instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord Superior in position to the living entity Arjuna, who is a forgetful soul deluded by Maya. Rehinasmin yathadehe kumaram yavanam jaratathadehantara prapir virastatranamukhyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in the body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Vanchakal Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Katitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Vijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro Yantak Pradishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuktam Sanjeevaya Takila Shakti Darasvadhamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravana Kagadi Ranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tuvyam. Our identification with the body is extremely deeply rooted. So much so that even Arjuna, who was in direct presence of the Lord, was somewhat illusioned in this regard. Of course, we know that this is in one sense Leela, but this Leela is there for us to understand how deeply rooted this illusion. So many times we heard about this, we want to believe it. We believe it to a certain extent, but still we are to a greater extent bewildered as to who we are. We don't know who we are. And that's the root cause of most of our problems, if not all our problems. Srila Prabhupada used to say that, if somebody is taking care of the cage, but not taking care of the bird inside. And the bird inside dies, even though the cage is very nice and clean. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So our body is a cage. But all the time we are concerned about our body and our mind. We hardly ever concerned about the soul. And we hardly know that we are the soul. We are so much connected with the body that it's really artificial to say, I have the body. It's very natural to say, I am this body. I am. When we say I am, we mean this body. We mean this mind. We don't mean really the person who is inside. So, in the Vedic lore, there is a very nice story which explains how this illusion takes place. Because it is important for us to understand what kind of behavior fortifies or reinforces this illusion. And what kind of behavior, on the contrary, is helping us to get rid of this illusion. Most of our behavior, if we analyze it minutely, if we analyze it in a very proper way, we will understand that our behavior is actually spiritually counterproductive. And it is true in our individual case and in the social interactions. So the point of the spiritual society is to live in such a way and to interact with other people in such a way so that we will understand ultimately this truth, that we are not this body. There is a very interesting story in this regard, very instructive and very funny too, about one Brahmin. Long, long ago there was one Brahmin, and he was a Shakta. And he once bought a goat, nice goat, to sacrifice to Goddess Kali. It was a nice goat, and he took this goat, and he put this goat on his shoulder, and went home, because his house was quite of a distance from the place where he obtained the goat. So he was walking on the path, and there were three or four cheaters who met him. And they saw it's a nice goat. It would be nice to have it. And they devised a trick how to trick this Brahmin. So one of them, he went first in front of this Brahmin and said, my dear sir, can you explain to me how come you're Brahmin? I know you have a tilak, you have this Shaiva tilak, you have this sacred ashes, you have big shikha, you have this nice clothes, and you're keeping dog behind you. And dog is so moochy. How is that possible? The Brahmin, he didn't believe it. He said, oh, get out of here. This is not a dog, this is a goat. You know. And after a few hundred meters, there was another guy, and this guy said, sir, how is that possible? There's dog behind you. You're keeping dog in you. You're so moochy. Ah! I will tell everyone that I saw you keeping the dog. Shame on you. And this time, the Brahmin became very thoughtful. He said, what's going on? He looked at the goat. He saw the goat. It was not dog. It was a goat. So he said, maybe everyone is just crazy. You know, after a few hundred meters, there was another guy, and another guy jumped out in front of him, and he said, I cannot believe my eyes. Such a nice, pure Brahmin. And he has dog with him. Oh my goodness. It's Kali Yuga. So he ran away. At this point, it was enough for the Brahmin. Brahmin said, probably this is dog. I may see it as a goat, but, you know, everyone else sees it as a dog. So it must be dog. So he put the goat and ran away. And these cheaters, they took the goat and had a nice feast. But the point is, please listen carefully, because this story has a very deep purpose. It's a funny story, but it has a very important purpose. You know, if somebody few times calls us this body, we will believe it. And from our very childhood, we used to think about this body. Because everyone is, you know, taking care of our body, everyone is just, you know, treating us as a body. We treat each other as a body. We don't treat each other as a soul. We don't see the soul. You know, if somebody is a small boy, you know, where we behave in one way, somebody is just little grown up, you know, there are so many conventional things in this society which we, how we deal with each other, and we constantly reinforce this maya, this illusion. You're the body, you're the body, you're the body. You know, we look at somebody and say, you're so nice. Why you're so nice? Because, you know, he put some, or she put some cosmetics. Oh, you look so nice today. Oh, you're so beautiful. And so on and so forth. There are so many little things. And practically every day, every moment of our life, we get confirmation, I am this body. But so programmed, you know, and this programming, what does it mean to be conditioned soul? Our problem is that we're conditioned soul. What does it mean to be conditioned soul? Conditioned soul means to be dependent on the environment. We're dependent, we're programmed. Conditioned means program. Conditions means we're not really standing on our own. We're dependent on the opinions of others. We're dependent on the opinions of the society. We're dependent on the relationship with other people. We're dependent on so many things. That means conditioning. And this conditioning that we're this body is constantly, constantly being reinforced by different little things in our life. So, therefore, it is so difficult to really understand this. We understand this theoretically. And actually, we understand it deep inside our heart. If we look deeply in our heart, we can really realize I'm eternal. I very much remember when I was a little boy, I knew this for fact. I knew this, you know, somebody told me that, you know, your grandmother died. I said, I couldn't believe it. I was trying to believe it, but I couldn't believe it. And at the same time, I felt that I do exist. I exist eternally. Krishna says this, if somebody exists, he exists eternally. Existence means existence. You know, and we do exist. We do exist. But at the same time, there is so much condition, so much social convention, so much interaction, which actually more or less confirms you're this body. So how to get rid of this condition? How to get rid of this dependence on this condition? Practically, from the very childhood, we're getting used to it. You know, very rarely the parents teach their children that they are not this body. On the contrary, the parents teach their children that they are this body. They are treating them as this body. They are not really trying to sober them. Of course, you know, you cannot do it with a very small child. But from 7 years old on, you have to, you know, to behave in such a way. So what I wanted to say today is that Vedic culture, in the minutest details, especially as far as the human interaction, is trying to teach us this point. Vedic culture is very nice culture because really it goes deep into the very core of our problem and trying to give us the sense that we are eternal soul. One of the principles of Vedic culture, which we have to very strictly follow in our society. Because we're here to help each other to progress. There is no other cause or there is no other reason for us to be here. We're here together as one family. Not just one organization, not just one society, not just even one movement. We're just one family. To help each other to understand the spiritual philosophy. And it means that we have to treat each other as the spirit soul. This is one thing, the main principle of Vedic society, which is the main principle of our ISKCON society, which Srila Prabhupada established, is respect. We have to respect and treat every devotee as a soul. If we can get this relationship, if we can see that everyone is a spirit soul, and not an ordinary spirit soul, special spirit soul which is striving for perfection. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that it's very rare when somebody is striving for perfection. Out of thousands and thousands and thousands of men, hardly anyone strives for perfection. And out of many, many thousands of people who achieve perfection, hardly anyone knows Krishna as a person. So the first principle, which is very important for us, which will help us to understand that we are eternal soul, is respect. Respect to each other. Respect to the small children. Respect to matajis. Respect to elderly person. Respect to young bhaktas. Respect to everyone. You know, in a normal society, if we look, not even very deeply, but even superficially, we see so much envy is going on. People are envious. Why they are envious? Because they see each other as a body. If you see each other as a body, you know, you start becoming envious. He has more. Or he is higher in the position. Krishna says, no, all the souls are equal. He is Brahman, or he is that, or he is this. And, you know, you start envying. And if you see somebody as superior to you, envy means I see somebody who is higher than me and I want to pull him down. Or I want to become superior than him. This is material thing. And this envy is the main factor which reinforces this illusion. Actually, if we study it deeply, the envy is the main enemy within ourselves. And this envy, when we envy other people, when we, you know, see other people as somebody whom we want to pull down or whatever, then basically we reinforcing this wrong understanding that he is the body. Whereas if we respect everyone, and if we love everyone, which is the true and real spiritual relationship, if we see everyone as a spirit soul, as a part and parcel of Krishna, who is very dear to Krishna, then this understanding that I am spirit soul will come to me. It's very interesting. If you come to somebody who treats you not as this body, who treats you as a soul, who immediately makes this bondage with you, this bond, your spirit soul related to Krishna, you're very dear to Krishna, then they feel that I'm not this body and not this mind. You know, my spiritual master is His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And I saw him dealing in this way. When he comes to somebody, when he approaches somebody, he doesn't see the surface. He doesn't see the, you know, somebody is ugly, somebody is this, somebody is that. You know, usually that's what we relate to. You know, we see somebody and usually we want to see how I'm superior than this person. I know better, or I am more beautiful, or I'm younger, or I'm older, or whatever. You know, there are so many reasons how we can wrongly treat somebody. But if you approach somebody and you feel that he is not envious, that immediately you feel that all your problems somehow or other evaporated, are gone. You don't feel the need anymore to defend yourself. You don't feel insecure. You feel immediately secure because this is a spiritual relationship. There is a very interesting story in this regard about Srila Prabhupada. There was one hippie during Prabhupada's time when Prabhupada came to America. This man, he still exists. And he tells his experience. He says, I was loitering the street in New York. You know, hippie, he doesn't have much to do. He was just walking in the street. And then he heard some sound which he liked. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he immediately became attracted. His soul, deep inside, felt attraction. This beautiful sound was there, and he went to this sound. He just was wondering what's going on. So he saw the Harinam procession. There were few people, few cross devotees, and Prabhupada was up front. He was leading the kirtan. And he saw, of course, he didn't know that this is Prabhupada. He didn't know anything about anyone. He just saw somebody who is an elderly person, who is from India, obviously. And at this moment, he says, he caught a look of Prabhupada in his eyes. And Prabhupada asked him, by looking at him deeply, deeply within his heart, who are you? Why you are suffering? And he looked at him, and he wanted to have the usual interaction with people. Because when we interact with people, either we don't see them at all, we neglect them, we don't really care about them. This is usual, you know, so many people passing by, we don't really see them. Or if we have to get into some interaction, we feel some envy. We immediately feel, oh yeah. You know, this reaction is there automatically because of our programming, because of our conditioning. Again, because we don't understand that I am spirit soul. And because we don't understand that the other person is a spirit soul. So, see, in this moment when he caught the eyes of Srila Prabhupada, and when he felt that Prabhupada is looking within his heart deeply, and speaking with him as a person, and interacting with him as a person, he kind of felt, you know, he answered him without saying anything. That was silent dialogue which went on between Prabhupada and this boy. He said, yeah, I'm here, I'm okay. This is our usual also way to defend. I'm okay. You know, if you ask somebody, how are you? What is the standard question? Fine. You may be very bad, but I'm fine, no problem. This is our defense. Again, this is our illusion. And even in this stupid little interaction, there is some mistake. So, and Prabhupada said, he said, I very clearly heard in my mind, Prabhupada said, you're not okay. You're suffering. Why you're suffering? Why do you have to suffer? Prabhupada saw him, and he saw his existential problems. He felt that, you know, he's living completely useless life. The life which has no meaning. And, you know, he said, when he felt this deep, deep compassion, he said, he started crying. He said, this was my first interaction with Srila Prabhupada. He said, I saw him a few times more, you know, but I will never forget this. He never got initiation from Srila Prabhupada, but he said, he is my spiritual master, and he is the only one who is my spiritual master. Because in his presence, I felt I am spiritual. In his presence, I felt that he is relating to me, not as a body. He is relating to me as somebody who has eternal existence and who is very dear to Krishna. So, what I want to say is that this little thing which we have heard so many times, I am not this body, this simple philosophy is very difficult to understand. It's extremely difficult to understand. We don't know this. We don't really understand this. And the proof is very clear. When we will start dying, how we will react? Will we be completely happy? Yeah, I'm dying. Yeah, Krishna, are you born? No. We will be crying. I want to live more. Krishna says this. Dhirastatrana muhyate. At that moment when you die, if you are completely sober, if you realize this fact that you are not this soul, you will be very happy. Everyone else will be crying and you will be very happy. And the last moment, the last phrase which Prabhupada gave, please listen. This is the last word and the last instruction which Prabhupada gave by being in this world. he says that it was few minutes before he passed away. Just a few minutes. I don't know, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours. But that was the last sentence which Prabhupada said in this world. He said that each and every living being is the eternal part and parcel of Krishna. Seeing this is called Krishna consciousness. Seeing this fact that in each and every living being there is a particle of God and we have to relate with them accordingly is called Krishna consciousness. And this is his instruction. And this is how he related. This is how he said his teaching. He was not envious. You know, when the illusory understanding or illusory interaction, which is coming or stemming from the illusory understanding or the false understanding, I am this body, is based on envy. And therefore so much envy is there in this material world. But in the spiritual society, there is no room for envy. In the spiritual society, we have to really practice Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means seeing everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. Seeing each and every one as a part and parcel of Krishna. And paying respect. Sriman Madhvacharya, in whose glorious dham we are happy to be present today, and we are so lucky. There is an interesting small episode from his life. When he was about to find his spiritual master, he started coming to Achyuta Preksha. Or even before that, he still didn't find Achyuta Preksha, but he became sober. He graduated from his school in his village in Pajapa Kshetra, and he became very changed. Before that, he was just a naughty boy, drunkish boy. He was running all over the place. He was fighting with other boys. He was not really diligent as a student. He didn't like to go to school. So he was a normal boy. But at the age of 10, he became all of a sudden really sober. And he started looking for a spiritual master. At that moment, he started paying obeisances practically to everyone. He was paying obeisances to a dog. Sometimes he was paying obeisances to a snake. You know, when the snake was passing by, he would pay obeisances to the snake. And people couldn't understand, and they asked, why are you behaving in such a strange way? And he gave an explanation. Because I want to find my spiritual master. They asked him, what is the connection between these two? And he said, unless you understand that everyone is a part and parcel of God, and unless you start paying respect to each and every living being, you will not be able to relate properly with the spiritual master, and you will not be able to recognize the spiritual master. You will not be able to enter into spiritual relationship with the spiritual master. So this is an important teaching for every one of us. And this is the teaching is the foundation for our society, how to understand, how to help us understand that, to help everyone else understand that we are not this body. And one principle, very important principle, the most important principle, is to respect everyone and to serve everyone and to try to really relate to everyone as the spirit soul and to judge everyone according to the level of his spiritual advancement. Again, our programming or our conditioning is such and so deep that we try to see each other on the basis of material achievements. You know, he is 20 years in Krishna consciousness, so he is a senior devotee. He is just 1 year in Krishna consciousness, so he is nothing. I am 3 years in Krishna consciousness. I have been chanting 16 rounds of Nama Aparatha for 3 years. This is not spiritual. Of course, we have to respect somebody who is more senior, somebody who is junior. There are distinctions. I'm not saying that there is no distinction. There should be distinctions. But the point, the underlying principle of all our relationships should be this respect to the spirit soul and understanding that he is the spirit soul and therefore I like him. This is the main reason for me to like him, because he is the spirit soul and I am spirit soul and we are together. And we are fellow devotees, we are part of one family. This family spirit, when everyone is treated in a very respectful and very non-envious way, is extremely important for us. When there will be no problems, there will be no quarrels. You know, all these quarrels, Prabhupada said that quarrels within our society is the only cause for our destruction. Nobody from outside can destroy us. Only our problem, our envy, our crazy mind is the cause of destruction. So that's what I'm trying to say, that, you know, we have to relate to each other in a very nice way. And of course, you know, there are some problems and there will be some problems, and we know that with some people you cannot really practice it properly, but still you have to respect. Because also initiation means that Srila Rupa Goswami is teaching this in the Nectar of Instruction. If you get initiation, it means you are Madhyamadhikari. And Madhyamadhikari means that you are relating with every living entity in a spiritual way. You keep friendship with the devotees. You are trying to help innocent people. You are loving God and his representative. And you are trying to avoid envious people. That's the spiritual. This is the spiritual formula. Spiritual formula which has no room for envy inside. And initiation means I have to become Madhyamadhikari. Sometimes people say, "Yo, I'm Kanishtha Adhikari, blah, 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 blah." No. We are Madhyamadhikaris. If we are members of this society, we have to behave. We cannot afford this Kanishtha complex, you know, this is blah, 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 blah. No. We have to serve each devotee, we have to respect each devotee, we have to like each devotee, we have to preach to every devotee, and ultimately, this mood of cooperation will be the main instrument for our own spiritual progress. Because when we preach this to other devotees, we will be also gradually elevated. This is the problem, the only problem actually in the spiritual society. Sometimes Prabhupada was asked, you know, what is ISKCON? You know, how to make ISKCON work? And Prabhupada's answer was very sobering. He said, spiritual movement in the material world, difficult proposition. He more or less said it's hopeless. He said it's very difficult. There will be problems. Because we are dealing with this reality. We are dealing with the reality of some of people who are very deeply conditioned with all these complexes and problems and everything. But there is a solution for this. And the solution for this is our mutual love and mutual cooperation. This is what Krishna wants to see. You know, he loves when his devotees are loving each other, serving each other, cooperating with each other, and trying to help each other. When Maharaja Prataparudra was trying to get darshan, to get an interview with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was very difficult for him. But finally we know, he put a guard of a very simple man. Very simple man, Sudra, or whatever. Very, very simple, very poor man. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was laying down in Jagannatha Vallabha Gardens, he started massaging his feet. And he was massaging his feet and chanting Gopi Gita at the same time. Jayate Devikam Janmana Raja Srayata Indira Saswatatahi. So he was chanting this beautiful verses from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening and listening and listening and listening, and he was massaging his body because he was tired from Ratha Yatra. And then at one point when he was chanting this, Tava Katha Amritam Tapta Jivanam Hari Viriditam Kamasaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatakam When he pronounced these words, that somebody who is preaching this Krishna consciousness all over the world, he is the most magnanimous person. When he chanted these words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became excited. He started crying. He got up, he couldn't lay down anymore. He started jumping and he embraced Maharaja Prabhupada, and he said, you are the most magnanimous, you are the most magnanimous, you are the most magnanimous, you are the best. And listen, the most important happened after that. When this happened, all the devotees, they became extremely happy. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Maharaja Prataparudra, you are the best. And everyone said, yes, he is the best. And this is the principle of spiritual society. The principle of material society, I am the best. I am the first one. You know, I want to be first no matter what. I want to be on the top. The principle of spiritual society, dasa, dasa, anudasa. I want somebody else to be the first. I want somebody else to get the mercy the first. I want to push somebody else so that he would grab this mercy and would be very happy, and that will be the cause of my happiness. So at this moment, when all the devotees, they became very excited, because they, for many, many long months, they were hoping to see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Maharaja Prataparudra. They became so happy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became even more happy, because he saw this non-envious nature of his followers, of his people. So that's a very important point of our spiritual interactions. The main point and the main principle of spiritual interaction, somebody else's interest is upfront. I'm trying to help others. I'm trying to serve others. This is my mission in life. If I can do something in this life, you know, we cannot do much. Really speaking, what we can do for Krishna? Krishna doesn't need us. Really speaking. We know, in Udupi temple, in Udupi Krishna temple, he has everything. He has so many devotees, he has this, you know, diamond, what we call, kavacha, practically every day, you know, every day new. He has golden chariot, and this is just reflection. Krishna doesn't need so much. Krishna doesn't need our service, but he needs one thing. One thing we can do. And this one thing Krishna appreciates very much. We can help others. We can help other devotees to progress. We can help other devotees to feel encouraged in Krishna consciousness. And when we do this, Krishna is very happy with us. When we try to help others, when we try to encourage other people, when we try to somehow or other, in a very non-endless way, to help other people, to preach to other people, Krishna becomes very happy. Because this is the main meaning of what Krishna wants. This is the meaning of love. If we love Krishna, we should love his parts and parcels. Srila Prabhupada used to say, if you love me, you should love my dog also. And if I have many dogs, you have to love all my dogs. You know, this is for us. This is about us. If we love Krishna, we have to love his parts and parcels. And we should not be envious. You know, when Krishna was playing flute during rasa dance, when he was standing under the Vamsivar, and he was playing his flute, and he was calling all the gopis were running from all directions. One gopi was running, another gopi, and they didn't know that they are running. But of course, at one point they knew. They saw so many gopis are there. Every gopi thought, Krishna is falling for me. But when all the gopis are running, see, none of the gopis were trying to somehow or other stop other gopis. Don't go there. He's calling for me. No. No, they're okay. Because Krishna is God and His love is enough for every one of us. He's loving every one of us and we have to reflect His relationship with us. If we emulate this mood in our relationship, in this way we will help others to understand that they're not this body. Because this is spiritual relationship. This is the relationship, this is the spiritual understanding. We understand everyone is a spirit soul. Everyone is a dear part of Krishna. So this is the social angle of this verse. As I said, this verse is difficult to understand. Purposefully I didn't get into this philosophy. We know all these things. But it is indeed very difficult for us to feel as a soul. But when we deal with each other, we should help each other to feel as a soul. When we see each other, we really should try to see He's the spirit soul. And it means that I have to love Him. It means that I have to respect Him. It means that I have to help Him. So this is, as I said, is this kind of social aspect of this verse. And it is very important for us to do. Because if this mood is there, if this atmosphere is there between the devotees, the spiritual life will be constant bliss. It will be very easy and it will be very, very helpful and very healthy. Whereas if we forget about this fact and start relating with each other in a material way, it is very counterproductive. It's bad for us and it's bad for everyone else. So Prabhupada said that there are one reason for ISKCON to exist. Only one reason. To give people the chance to interact with sadhus. But basically, he also means that every one of us has to become the sadhu. If we are members of ISKCON, we have to become sadhu. Sadhu doesn't mean saffron clothes. Sadhu doesn't mean that he's running. You know, yesterday we were in Kolur and there was one sadhu there. He said, I have a bad chart. I was a teacher. I don't have pension. Therefore, I became sadhu. and his understanding of sadhu is somebody who is roaming and getting free food. But sadhu is somebody who has spiritual relationship with each other, who has spiritual vision, and who has spiritual interaction. And Prabhupada said, ISKCON is for sadhus. We have to become sadhus to give people the chance to associate. This is our mission. This is our dignity. And this is our heritage from Srila Prabhupada. He wanted us, he expected it from us. He wants our vision to change. He wants us to see each and everyone as a part and parcel of Krishna, not as a body. You know, so many bodily misconceptions are there. Somebody has white skin, somebody has brown skin, somebody has black skin, somebody has Brahmin thread, somebody has this and that. It's so not significant. It's all inconsequential. What is consequential? Every living being is a spirit soul. Knowing this and seeing this is called Krishna consciousness. Means Krishna consciousness. So this is our mission, to see this. To see ourselves, when we look in the mirror, we should see the spirit soul. Nice spirit soul is chanting Hare Krishna. We shouldn't look, you know. We should see the soul. And more important, when we see other people, we should see them as the soul, who is eternally related with Krishna. Then our life will be happy and we will radiate happiness around us. We will be very happy and we will be given the ability to give happiness to others. Only if we try to do this, only if we give this, make this a point in our lives, I am here to encourage others. I am here to help others. I am here to serve others. Because I am servant by my very nature. So, this was my little message. Again, the interactions are very important. Please remember this funny story about the dog and Brahman. If you will be told many times a day that you are this body, you will believe it. You will be forced to believe it. But if during our interactions we will tell each other, your spirit soul, you're good. Spirit soul means pure. Spirit soul means very pure. Spirit soul means Shuddha, Ananda. Krishna relates in the same way to Arjuna. He doesn't say, Arjuna, you are in Maya. He says, Arjuna, you are in Maya. Yes, he says this in the beginning. But then he says, Ananda. He says, you are sinless. You are very pure. No problem. You have no problem. Because he is trying to address to him and to speak to him as the spirit soul, not as the body. So this is what we try to do in our day-to-day life. In the morning, when we get up and when we have our deity greeting in front of the mirror, we should chant Govindam Adipurusham Maham Bhajami. We should say, yes, I am Dasa Dasa Amadasa. Such and such Dasa, I hear. What is my business today? To serve others. Because I am a Dasa. Dasa Dasa Amadasa. I have to serve others. I have to serve other devotees. If I do this, Krishna will be happy with me. He will know that I understand the simple truth. I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
What should we do in our daily lives to understand that we are not the bodies and to look each other as a spirit soul? What should be our practice? What should we do?
We should basically kind of try to to help each other and to... I mean, I'm telling this not in relationship with this particular situation here. I don't mean to mean this. I don't know this whole thing and how it, you know, it's... There will be some quarrels between the devotees. It's a reality, unfortunately. It's not good. It's not good reality. But it's a reality. But the point is, again, how I take this and how I behave in this kind of situation. Still, you know, this kind of material things are not so good for us because they kind of drag us down in our consciousness. So what we should try to do, even in this difficult situation, and I know it's probably unavoidable in the age of Kali, it's an age of quarrel, you know. Kali somehow or other sneaks in, and by different means, through different people, through different kind of cheating things, you know, he does this, quarrels between the devotees. But still, even in the quarrels or even in other things, we have to be established, very firmly established in this mood that I still want to help. Nobody is my enemy. I'm a servant of Prabhupada. I'm a servant of Prabhupada's mission. I will serve Prabhupada till the end of my days because he saved me. And it means that I have to serve, you know. And serve means I do what I can. In my position, whatever I can. You know, if I cannot influence many people, okay, I will influence and I will help those people whom I can help. But there always will be some people whom I can help. Always will be some people, and that will be the main emphasis. The main emphasis is that there are so many people who need help. So many people who really don't know what to do in life. So many people, you know, and so many devotees who also need help. So many devotees who need some encouragement. If we see a devotee who is not in a good mood, you know, what we should do? We should try to encourage him. And that will be our service to Krishna. If we see a devotee who is in Maya, we should try to help him. If we see a devotee who is good, you know, still we should try to, you know, this should be our main mood. You know, I want to help other devotees. In the area where I can help. It's not, you know, we should not be in illusion that I can help anyone. No. We only can help limited number of people. But still, those people whom we can help, we should help. And there are such people. There are always people who, if we deal with them as a spirit soul, will be very grateful for this, and they will be growing. So this should be, when I get up, this should be my resolution for a day. What can I do for Krishna? I can do very little. But if I can help, if I can just smile, you know, smile can be a good service. You know, if you smile nicely, you know, it's a service. You know, you're smiling just because you want to make somebody happy. You know, service is a simple thing. You smile, you say Hari Bol, you just give some prasadam, invite somebody, you know, or whatever. So many things we can do. It's little things, but they're very meaningful. Because Krishna is very happy. When we cease to do this, he becomes very, very happy. And our spiritual master becomes very happy, because the main pain of the spiritual master is to see how other devotees are quarreling with each other. It's painful. I know it. I have become, you know, some people call me as a spiritual master. And I know it's the most painful experience when you see that, you know, people are quarreling with each other. And the most happy experience when you see people are nicely cooperating with each other, they are friendly, they are serving each other. This is very, you know, this is very happy experience. This is the most happy news. Finally, Kali Yuga is not there. We are not conditioned by the Kali Yuga. So we are one family. This we should remember. And in the family, what family means? Family means we are there for others. That's what family means. Family means I don't live for myself, I live for them. Right? So we have one big spiritual family, Prabhupada's movement. And this is how we should relate with each other. And we should, you know, encourage each other, say thank you to each other for the service we are doing. And in this way, our society will become very strong. Very strong and very, very meaningful, very relevant to the people. If we don't do this, we become very, you know, insignificant kind of yet another quarreling church. There are so many churches, you know, where people kind of, you know, having all these problems. There's no need for this. There is no reason for us. We have to help each other. And Prabhupada said, if you want to prove that you love me, just help others, cooperate with others. Any other questions?
Fighting each other. See, if you think, understand that everyone in the spirit soul, then everything is content, go up in Udipi also, I think. Even though I am very much struck by your saying that Madhvacharya was paying obeisance to the dog and the snake, because each and everyone is the spirit soul of Krishna. We are the spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. We need to understand. No, I'm a big Brahmana. No, equal. so nice. So it is to be implemented in our day-to-day life. Then only definitely that the Islam will come up in Udupi also. This is my feeling. Very nice. Yes, thank you.
Philosophy is very nice, but it's not easy to practice this philosophy. That's the point. It's easy to preach this philosophy, but it's not easy to practice it. Preaching everyone can do. But the main point is that we have to practice it ourselves. And practice starts with a simple point. Simple point means I'm spirit soul and everyone else is spirit soul. See this. This is the... There is very deep philosophy behind what Prabhupada said. We see the living symptoms in our body. And these living symptoms is because of the soul. And we know that the body is living only because the soul is there. And by upaman, by this example, we have to understand that everyone else also has the same. Krishna, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he gives a very interesting verse. He says, when the yogi is in samadhi, one of the manifestations of his samadhi, and samadhi means a completely calm and sober mind. The mind is totally equal, totally undisturbed. He says, one of the manifestations is that you feel for others because your consciousness is not limited. When your mind is disturbed, you're only conscious of your own body. But the real yogi is the one who can feel the pains and the joys of others as his own. And when others are joyful, he's happy. When others are suffering, he is also suffering. Because he is not envious. When we are envious, we don't feel it, you know. If somebody is suffering, that's good. You feel good about it. Paradukhi sukhi, you know. If somebody is suffering, you are sukha. You are very happy. But real Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He is suffering when others are suffering. And he is parasukha sukhi. He is happy when others are happy. Philosophy is nice, but practicing is even more important. Thank you very much for your service to Srila Prabhupada. It's very important. Thank you very much for being loyal to ISKCON, to Prabhupada, to our structure. It is very important. Because again, I said the simple thing, that the main principle of the spiritual society is respect. Respect for each other, but respect for seniors especially. You know, we have to respect for everyone. We have to have respect to everyone, to dogs, to snakes, not for sure. But we definitely have to respect those who are senior, our spiritual master, the authority structures which are there. Prabhupada wanted it very much. When some people cannot accept this, this is not good. So, you know, I thank you very much for respecting our society, because this is the way to respect Srila Prabhupada. If we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada, we have to respect the society which he established. No matter what, there may be some problems. Problems are always there, but you know, the main mood should be this of respect and of trying to help each other. So this was my simple message today. And somehow or other it is related with this verse which we all know. The Hisan Snim Yathadehe Komaram Yavan Jara Tatadehantara Kapir Diras Tatranam. Thank you.